13%.
The Zone at the Little Rock Touchdown Club is brought to you by Epic Health. Don't let imitators fool you. Epic Health is the only testosterone clinic who takes insurance and is dedicated solely to testosterone therapy. Epic Health, behind Chili's on Rodney Parham in Little Rock.
And he swings and drives one high and deep to left field. Holiday back by the bullpen. Chops. It's gone! A three-run homer, Johnny Gomes into the Red Sox bullpen. His first hit of the World Series, and the Red Sox lead it 4-1.
Ground ball. Second baseman makes a heck of a play, throws home, and he's out at home. What a play by McCrory. Now they throw the third. It's a wild throw, and he's going to try to score. They can throw him out as he stumbles. He's going to be out at the plate. Oh, they called him safe.
Interference.
They called interference. Interference down at third base with the third baseman, and the Cardinals win this one 5-4. They called interference with the man down at the third base. They called interference, and that's why they called him safe at the plate. They're arguing at home plate, but the Cardinals are going to walk off with a 5-4 win here in the bottom of the ninth.
Hey, welcome into the Zone today from the Little Rock Touchdown Club, the Embassy Suites Hotel, West Little Rock, Justin Acri, Phil Elson, Matty T, manning the board in the Fury Electric Studio, and you. And an odd weekend in Major League Baseball, a wild weekend again in college football, and pretty much by the numbers for the most part of the weekend in the NFL. I wasn't shocked by too much that happened there. Phil Elson, two of the stranger endings to Major League Baseball games, and let alone a World Series game or two.
Yeah, never mind the fact that it's partially all for the Marbles.
Yeah.
But they were, though, two of the weirdest things you would ever see to end a game anywhere.
Yeah, well, those are played in reverse. The last one was the Saturday highlight. The Saturday game, of course, ball thrown away. Bad decision by Saltamacchia, I thought, to even try the throw. The guy was going to be safe either way.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a guy who is hobbled running, so if you have a short fly ball maybe on the next batter up, you're going to have a crack at him at the plate anyway. So pretty poor decision there on a couple of fronts, with Craig being not 100%. They end up getting an interference call, which I think no matter whether you're a Red Sox fan or otherwise, you understand that was the right play, right call.
That's one thing about the first game of the weekend is it got people opening their rule books for the first time in years.
True. And then, of course, to top it off, yesterday they pick a dude off on first to seal the victory. Which
it's interesting how that's set up, too.
Yeah, and it looked like it was going to be a Red Sox victory either way. You never know, of course, but It was odd, but talk us through that one.
Well, you've got Alan Craig, who's the batter, who he was also the runner that scored on the interference call. And remember, he's coming back from a severely sprained left ankle, and it looked like it really affected him pretty badly after mm-hmm. he scored the run. He had to be helped off the field. But he comes up in the ninth inning yesterday as a pinch hitter and really gets a hold of one and drives it off the right field wall, but he's not able to run. All he can do is limp, essentially, to first base, and anybody else would have been able
to
get
to second.
That's a
double for us, almost.
That's a double for Tommy Smith. I mean, he would make it there. But Alan Craig couldn't even think about trying for second base, and so, I mean, that's one thing why you even had a runner at first base, whether it's Colton Wong or anybody else. If Craig's able to run a little bit, he you wouldn't even be worried about that pickoff. But Colton Wong, I mean, he's one of the only guys on the Cardinals who can steal a base, whose game partially is built around speed.
Yeah, wasn't he perfect on stolen bases this year?
I think
in the regular season he was.
And we saw him a couple years ago in Springfield. He was the second baseman and a first-round pick. And,
where did he play?
He played at he's from Hawaii.
That's what I thought. He played at Hawaii. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So But at that point, he's not the tying run, so what is he doing even trying? I mean, I know he's trying to take an aggressive secondary lead and get a good jump on a ball that's hit well, but that's Carlos Beltran at the plate. Carlos Beltran needs a chance to swing away and maybe drive a ball into the gap or hit it over the fence. So
yeah.
I don't know what he was doing even off of first base at all. And he was warned about Uhara's move, so he knew what to look for.
Yeah, well, here he was afterwards, obviously very emotional, and you never know if the outcome of the game was affected by it, but you hate to go out like that. I can remember the first time I ever appeared in a varsity game in high school being picked off, and it was one of the lowest points of my life. To be picked off in a World Series game, this dude has got to be beside himself. But he's a great asset for them. He'll be a great player going forward, but obviously very emotional yesterday after getting picked off on first to end the game. Poor Colton Wong.
Getting ready, getting aggressive because, you know, it was hitting situation. Knowing Carlos, he can drive the ball. And, you know, if that ball got down somewhere, I was, you know, hoping to go first, third, maybe even score. You know, it was quick and, I was planning to get in my position. Once I turned to get back, the foot slipped out.
You don't hear the clip there, but when he was interviewed in the locker room, There were some tears shed, and understandably so. I mean, that's got to be devastating for a player, but hopefully he comes back and plays better as we go forward.
He's going to be a great asset for them moving forward. This is just unfortunate that, you know, his career kind of on a national stage starts with that.
Yeah.
Because he's got to be able to come back from it somehow.
I didn't know much about him before the series, and I've seen him make some positive plays for them before last night. No, he has been. I mean, my introduction to him was prior to last night, but that's going to be what he's going to be remembered for.
He's a solid hitter. He's got a good idea of the strike zone, runs well, and plays a good second base. And, you know, he ought to be looked at as a starting second baseman in the next couple of years if the Cardinals end up getting, you know, moving Freeze. And Matt Carpenter, we saw him in Springfield as a third baseman, not a second baseman. So there's an option for Wong, I think, to start at some point. But there's one thing that he can look to back in 1926, and don't worry about this, Colton Wong, because the only other World Series, well, this World Series ended on a caught stealing. It's the first time and only time it ever happened. 1926, the Cardinals, Babe Ruth was caught stealing second base to end the World Series. And he had, his career was just fine.
It ended the series.
Ended the series.
Not a game, a series.
The game and the series.
Not a game.
That's right.
The series.
The whole
We're talking about
shebang.
Series.
That's right.
We're talking about series.
It was game seven, so I mean.
That's devastating.
Imagine that.
Yeah, whatever happened to old Babe Ruth, what a weird name.
You know, I think he managed to bounce back from it. In fact, the next season he had 60 home runs.
Did he make it to the series in Boston?
Yeah, I mean, he was on the 1918 Red Sox. He was part of it. Remember, it was the next year. He was traded that offseason.
That's like the Greg Maddux deal, although on a much lesser successful scale. But what did they do in 18? Did they win?
The Sox won it in 1918.
Did he get any pitching decisions in that game, in that series?
Well, I'm not positive. We're going to look it up.
Look this up.
We're going to look it up. But, I mean, remember, he was traded the next offseason.
One of the great assets of having Phil Ellison here is, A, his knowledge of baseball. But this is fun to look back. And of all the sports, baseball's got the richest, deepest, longest history. So it's fun to look back on this stuff.
Most heart-wrenching when you're looking at some things. And that's one thing that this series is going to be remembered for. And it's unfortunate because, I mean, the first two series games were pretty sloppy. And while I think the obstruction call was the right call, you know, you don't want to see a game end.
No, that was my thing.
That's unfortunate.
I invested time in that thing. I got home from UCA late that night, and I got to see the last part, probably the fourth quarter of the Missouri-South Carolina game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the last few innings of the World Series game, and I hated to see it ended. I was like, what a waste of an investment. I'm like, you don't want to see a game-winning hit or a guy making a great defensive play to seal a victory or something like that, but to see it go out on an obstruction call. If you're a Cardinal fan, you don't care how they get it, but.
Missouri sports fans right now, I mean, I think they're probably setting a state record for Rolaids purchased in the last week.
Yeah, well,
they've seen some interesting endings. You want to talk about a game that ended in a way that you don't want to see it end was Laces In. The Mizzou loss to South Carolina, I mean, that's just heart-wrenching in numerous ways.
Yeah, Matt, if you can get that clip up in the second set of clips there, the South Carolina call of that particular play, and, I mean, that has got to be about as bad. But, I mean, you got the Cardinals in the World Series. The Chiefs remain undefeated, although they are talking about near misses. I still will argue that they are a barely above-average team. I don't find them to be a great team. I don't think they're going to be a title contender. I got into a pretty hefty debate last week with Chris Kane about this. He said, well, you can't say they're average. I'm like, well, I can. I've watched them play. They don't pass the eye test. They're very sound defensively. But I don't believe in Alex Smith. And Jamal Charles is fantastic, but I just don't think, you know, again, the more times they let these teams that aren't very good play them close, it continues to lead me to believe that they're not a great team. I don't think they're an elite team. I don't think they're a top five or six team in the league, despite the fact, you know, they're the only remaining undefeated.
We've seen other, and it happens early in seasons quite a bit. I can't remember. I mean, was there a New York Jets team that started 10-0 at some point in the late 80s and ended up not even making the playoffs at 10-6?
I'll be surprised if they don't make the playoffs, especially. They do have to play Denver twice. But they do have enough games that they'll win. I'll be surprised if they don't win 10 games, you know, by the end of the season. And, you know, they could feasibly split with Denver as good as, you know, Denver's shown a couple of chinks in the armor. They had three turnovers yesterday and still one going away. Three interceptions, rather, thrown by Peyton Manning.
Not an Alex Smith believer.
No, I'm not. And I'm not a doubter on him. And I thought he got kind of a raw deal in San Francisco. But the more you watch him, the more you see why San Francisco made the decision. He's certainly a gifted athlete. I just don't believe in it as far as his throwing motion. He throws too many errant balls. I'm not a believer in him, and much to Joe Klein's chagrin, I'm sure. I hate to ridicule him, but you can't argue with the results, and they have been very effective, and they're getting the job done. Again, defensively very good. Derek Johnson, 12 tackles in the win over Cleveland yesterday. But again, they let Cleveland hang around. Cleveland stinks. Cleveland stinks.
Cleveland's better than they've been in recent years. The Browns are not necessarily the Browns.
But they got a new quarterback in, too. Same thing they faced with the Texans the week before. You got Case Keenum, who's going to be probably a pretty good NFL quarterback. He's a leading passer in college football history as far as total yardage goes, but he hasn't established himself. It's his first start, and he gives them a scare when they're in Kansas City. I mean, everything I see out of these guys makes me believe they've got too many issues to be an elite team. If they were playing the Packers would be favored. If they were playing the Saints would be favored. They're playing the Broncos twice. The Broncos are going to be favored both times. There are a handful of teams that I think on paper are better than them. Doesn't mean they couldn't win on a given day. But I just don't believe that they're one of those teams right now.
Right now, are they?
Which they're better than most people expected. I'll give them that.
And they also, I mean, you know, is the ball bouncing their way? Are the breaks going their way? I mean, a lot of close wins. You know, I see a lot of teams sometimes that play a season worth of close games where a single play one way or the other seems to make the difference or at least tilt the game in their favor somehow.
Here's my point, Phil. And again, I don't want to spend this whole first segment here picking on a Kansas City team that's undefeated. It makes me sound stupid, even dumber than usual. But the point is, look. The Jaguars played the Niners yesterday. 42-10, the final. A bad team gets pounded by a good team. That's how it's supposed to look.
I guess this was like the first chink in Denver's armor a little bit when you see but how Denver, they barely were able to handle Jacksonville at some point.
Right, true. But they didn't cover the Vegas number, but it was a comfortable victory, okay? They threw three interceptions yesterday. They beat the Redskins 45-21. They pounded them. That's what you're supposed to do with an average or marginal team, you know? So when you're a great, the Saints beat the Bills 35-17, and that's an okay Bills team. So, you know, again, I look at them, and again, they've had back-to-back scares against teams that are lesser thans with quarterbacks who have no experience basically starting. It's not okay, and it tells me they got real issues. Now, of course, Campbell has been around the league a lot, and that's a guy I've always rooted for. He had a tough situation in college and I thought was able to achieve, and he's a guy that I've always sort of rooted for. But, you know, again, he has proven not to be an overly effective NFL quarterback. Yesterday, he's 22 of 36, 293. We got a guy that hasn't played. He wasn't your starter until this week. You know, starting and throwing for those kinds of yards against that defense, that makes me think, gee, you're not an elite team. Again, I see more and more evidence to that. And a lot of people are probably going to ride that Kansas City wagon as far as they can, and they're going to believe in them until, you know, they're not alive in the playoffs anymore. I'm telling you right now, I see issues there. Speaking of issues, I do feel bad for Bronco fans. I mean, for Cowboy fans, rather.
Oh, good.
That's a tough gig. It's a tough gig being a Cowboys fan. Yesterday, speaking of defensive issues, the Cowboys allowed over 400-yard passing to Stafford and the Lions. More importantly, they allowed a career day. In fact, not quite an NFL record day. I don't know what was more shocking, the fact that Calvin Johnson had 329 in the game or that it was not an NFL record, and furthermore, that I was alive when the NFL record was set.
You remember Flipper Anderson?
Not really, I guess
I
vaguely.
Remember the name.
I sure as heck don't remember a 336 yards performance in 1989, although I was certainly in my teens, so I was around. But it's disappointing to me that Calvin Johnson didn't reestablish that, because I think it's much safer bet that he will be a Hall of Famer, much more so than Flipper Anderson. So, you know, we're going to get into the position now where, and he did tie the all-time record for 200-yard games yesterday, Calvin Johnson, and he made sure he got it by getting 329. We're going to get in the discussion in the not-too-distant future. We're focused on LeBron versus Michael. We should be getting in the conversation about Calvin versus Jerry. Calvin Johnson is such a freak athlete, and they have had so many issues with that team on offense that he has clearly been the focus. You see how when Minnesota is played against and they can focus on AP, they're able to shut him down. He got outrushed head-to-head in the game yesterday. In fact, he almost had two Green Bay Packers rush for more yards in a single game than he did. But when they're able to focus on the run game, it's much easier to stop. Well, they're focusing on Calvin Johnson. They can't stop him. Why they didn't double-team the guy the entire game, I'll never know. And when they did double-team him, it didn't matter. He still made plays.
This sounds just like the old Lions with Barry Sanders, just a ground game instead of an air attack. I mean, it's widely accepted by, you know, I think football fans, I mean, you can still have debate about it, but Barry Sanders is on the short list of the greatest running backs of all time. And, that's pretty much undisputed. How many playoff games did the Lions win while they had him? I know they made it to an NFC Championship game or two. Megatron, perhaps, greatest of all time. You know, what have the Lions been able to do with him? It's something about the water that goes to the, you know, to the locker rooms, I guess, at wherever the Lions are practicing or playing.
Mm-hmm. Who is throwing to Flip Anderson for the record, says Domino J on the Keithley Service Company Live Fan Feedback?
I think that was Jim Everett.
Chrissy?
That's right.
Chrissy was a starting quarterback in 1989?
I think he was.
Okay, how about that? I don't know. Boy, again, here's a couple of highlights from the game yesterday. I mean, it was honestly, I sat down and watched the end of this game. It was such a joy not to watch the Cowboys lose again in just absolutely heartbreaking fashion, but it was a joy to watch Calvin Johnson achieve like that. I mean, it's fun to watch great players do what they do, and guys that are just clearly better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. You see it with LeBron. You see it with him. I don't know if you see it with too many other athletes in the world today, but he is so much better than everybody else. It is so much fun to watch. Again, these are guys that are worth the price of admission. You put Johnny Manziel in that mix, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The guys that are just worth sitting back and spending a couple of hours watching perform.
David Ortiz in the postseason.
Yes.
Put him in that category, too.
Yes, much to the Cardinal fans' chagrin, I suppose that's true as well.
He's incredible. I mean, he hits the ball so hard. He hits it right into the shift that they put on him every time, and he still comes through with a base hit.
How about him running from third to home on a sacrifice fly yesterday?
That was entertaining. That but, I mean, he came in. That's a big man coming in
foot
feet
gosh,
first.
Oh, my gosh, scary.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the very few people in the world today that I could beat in a 40, I think. Anyway, a couple highlights from yesterday. Calvin Johnson's not record-setting, but pretty impressive performance.
Stafford out of the gun. Rolls to his right. Throws deep. Wants Calvin. Double covered. Goes up. Makes the catch. Oh, Megatron, you did it again. Inside the 30 and down to the 26-yard line. Split two defenders. 54 yards on the connection. He's got it. Pocket holds. Looks right. Throws. Wants Calvin. Got him. Inside the 5. Into the end zone. No, they're going to stay inside the 1. Clock moving. Down to 20 seconds to go. The Lions will have to clock the ball. Stafford gets the offense in position. Kills. He dives in for the touchdown. Did he get it? Yes, sir, he did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Matthew took it across, and the Lions have taken the lead with 12 seconds to go.
One of the great fakes we've ever seen in NFL history. He fakes like he's going to clock it. Instead, he jumps over the line and gets the ball in, and then he runs around the end just to be safe that he gets into the end zone. I haven't seen anybody fake a clock play like that.
That's Dan Marino. We saw Marino do that once or twice.
It's the only one I've ever seen it happen.
Mm-hmm. You would imagine that.
And he threw the ball.
He did. He wasn't right at the goal line. That's
well,
right.
The other thing was he didn't tell anybody he was doing it. He said, "We didn't have a play called. We called. No, they didn't fire off." He said they just stood up. But I saw the defense from Dallas, and what a heads-up play by Stafford. Saw the defense from Dallas just kind of standing there. Said I saw the linebackers, and I will give this Lee. Did kind of dive in there to try to stop him at the end, but it was too late. He was already in.
Lee had himself a great game.
He really did play well.
A couple of interceptions, returning him a little bit too. He's proven to be a great asset.
Yeah, it was a crazy weekend for sure. I do feel terrible for Missouri though. Back around to the Tigers for the weekend. I mean, I picked them to beat South Carolina and won. And then I'm doing the Sporting Live Arkansas picks. I picked South Carolina to win that game.
Oh, come
so
on!
I didn't mean to split my vote. Actually, what happened
was with an NCAA basketball pool.
No, I'll tell you what happened is I had Ben Brannard in studio on Friday, and he talked me into Missouri. Being a Cardinals fan, he's rooting for all things Show Me State. So he talked me into the Tigers, and actually when they were up big, he said, "I told you so, I told you so." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. Thanks for talking me into them." And then they blow it. Now, I was rooting for an overtime game. I just didn't think that they would mess it up, and I certainly didn't think it would happen the way that it did. And you mentioned laces out. The laces in. I'm not a kicker. I don't know how much of that impacts it. On a short field goal like that, I don't care where the laces are. You ought to be able to make it. But it was a horrific finish to what was a really good football game. I kind of felt like I did in the World Series game. Both of them sort of finished on weird plays, and I felt a little bit cheated. Here's how it sounded on the IMG Sports Network.
Snap it back. Put it down. Trying to tie it up to take it to overtime.
He missed it. He missed it. He missed
the
it.
The Gamecocks win it. Carolina wins it on the road. 27-24.
Did I call it?
Andrew Baggett can't convert.
He missed it.
And look at the Gamecocks exhausted on the field.
Do we get to hear the Missouri call?
No, I don't imagine we have that. Actually, I didn't ask for it, so we should have gotten that. You're right, my
nobody
bad.
Nobody shouting, I called it.
Matt, if we can get that before the end of the day, we should try to hear their
and the sound. You want to hear what a punch in the gut sounds like.
Oh, I mean, you think you've played yourself into a position, and they had a chance to make a touchdown. They ran a weird play, though. They ran mock on a keeper left, and he got lost yards. And so they end up having to settle for a very short field goal, very makeable field goal.
I think laces in makes a big difference. It looked like the laces were right into his feet, and that it might have affected the kick just enough you know, just hitting it off the side of those laces. I guess there's a reason where you don't want to kick it there.
Game balls and jockstraps. Email us, thezone@1037thebuzz.com. Matt, you know what we're going to do today? We're going to give away Arkansas-Auburn tickets. We're going to step it up a notch.
Hey, that's a good prize.
Arkansas-Auburn tickets for the best game balls and jockstraps. Email to thezone@1037thebuzz.com. Had some travel issues with Brian Harsin, so he's actually driving down here today, so he will not be able to be on with us live, but he will be calling in at 11:45 today. My game balls and jockstraps look like this. Obviously, Megatron, you got to give it to him for his performance yesterday, one of the great performances in the history of the NFL from a wide receiver. UCA, a game that was very much in question between them and SFA. In fact, they do a thing in their game day program at UCA. They have four local banks that are in a picking competition. Mm-hmm. Two of the four local banks picked SFA to win the game, despite the fact it was played in Conway. So jockstrap to them. I will not name them by bank, but
thanks for your support.
What a homecoming performance by the Bears. They scored on a 98-yard pick six. They had a kickoff return by the true freshman Jatavius Wilson. They had an 81-yard touchdown run by a true freshman running back, Kelton Warren. They had a touchdown catch by a true freshman wide receiver who just had his redshirt taken off the week before because of all the injury issues they've had there. So, I mean, it was an unbelievable week, especially by a lot of young guys. And Ryan Howard, the little lefty that could, who does not look like a college quarterback, certainly not an elite one, throws for over 400 yards in a win.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty awesome.
Well, it was fun listening to you and Sully on the heartbeat coming back from Harding. Where Henderson picked off another big win. But you guys sounded so excited, but also because of the way your press box is set up there at Estes Stadium, a little sheepish about celebrating all these great scores.
No doubt.
Because the visiting assistant coaches are right next to you guys in the booth.
Well, here's
the
funny thing.
With a window between you two.
On the left side of our booth, Coach Conk's family sits there. And every other big play, or every big play, his son, Chase, would kind of pull the shades down and look at us and give us that, oh, my gosh, can you believe what we're just seeing? And then to my right are the coaches from the opposition, and they're obviously totally upset and devastated. I mean, they left. There were coaches leaving like 5 or 6 minutes before the game was over because it was so out of hand.
Nick Saban would not like that, by the way.
No, he would not. And jockstrap to them coming up. So game ball to UCA. By the way, Ryan Howard named the Offensive Player of the Week in the Southland Conference as of this morning. And the Special Teams Player of the Week, Jatavius Wilson, a young man who announced his presence with authority in Nuke LaLouche fashion. Three touchdowns in his first game of his career at UCA earlier in the season. Game ball to UAPB. Happy to see Coach Coleman and the Lions get off the schneid. They got a win over the weekend, so good for them. They're back to their winning ways after what was a great 2012. They got their first win of the year. Big game ball to the Minnesota Golden Gophers. They have a coach who is, oddly enough, named Kill, who it looks like is going to pass about every week. He has not been able to be on the sideline with his team because he's had a number of issues with seizures. Scary situation there. They have kept him on staff. It has worked out well. They win against a ranked Nebraska team over the weekend. So congratulations to Minnesota. A game ball to you. I would give a jockstrap to Nebraska, but I won't pile on. Also, a game ball to a couple of former Razorback running backs. Peyton Hillis, 70 yards rushing. A much better second-week performance than the last time around. But the one constant there is he has helped New York in two games he has played to two victories. So congratulations to him. Now, admittedly, it was a field goal fest, but they did win the game. And also, as we head into the break here, Matt, go ahead and roll it, and we will hear a touchdown highlight or two. I guess, let's see here what we got. I guess just one of the two touchdowns that Darren McFadden had. In a win by the Oakland Raiders, which have been hard to come by over the last several years. An NFL record for a quarterback touchdown run by Terrell Pryor goes 93 yards.
Right, and with two missed field goals by Sean Sweezum, that's the difference.
Oh,
the
I forgot. You're a Steelers fan. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, credit where it is deserved. And he didn't have a huge game, but he had a very solid game, did Darren McFadden. So congratulations to him. He ends up with 73 yards rushing on 24 carries. He also had a couple of catches for 5 yards, a 21-18 win by the Raiders. Take it away, D-Mac.
McFadden, they give it to Darren, a break free, and take it down to the goal line. He should be in. He's in. Touchdown, Raiders. He ran right over Troy Polamalu for the last couple of yards.
Live it up, it's now.